You are listening to Common Air, your guide to arts and culture in St. John and beyond. There is a continuing rise in self-publishing. People who once never dreamed of getting a contract with a publisher, or who had tried and tried and tried and never seemed to have made contact, are now publishing their own ebooks and even print books. But as it becomes easier to publish their own book, the respect for self-publishers doesn't seem to be rising. Common Air spoke with author Mary Walters to discuss the world of self-publishing and the advantages it brings and where it could be going in the future. Mary Walters is a Canadian author who has published both through the traditional publishing houses and recently moved towards self-publishing. My first question for her was how you decide if a book is right for self-publishing.
Well, you know, in Canada, our mid-sized, smaller and to mid-sized presses are, a lot of them are focused on literary works that really do benefit from the kind of editorial support and the connections that these publishers have. They do an excellent job. They make beautiful books. And I do think that if I were to publish, for example, a collection of literary short stories again, that I would go with a smaller press that for that reason. And a lot of people like the support that a publisher can offer them, such as the marketing and promotion that the really big presses can offer. But whether one can get a big press or an agent in order to get a big press is the big problem for most writers.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's important to have a literary agent if you are going to be a self-published author.
If you're going to be a self-published author, you really don't need a literary agent. You need other kinds of things like support for marketing and promotion, which is very difficult at this time. I think things will change in the future and the world will begin to become more accepting of the fact that there are writers with a lot of qualifications and ability and experience who are doing self-publishing. But right now it's almost impossible to be reviewed in the traditional outlets or get into bookstores. So you really need help with that kind of distribution and promoting your book. But as far as connecting with a self-publishing company, it's pretty easy to do it and it doesn't need to be expensive. And one of my concerns at this point is that a lot of self-publishers are paying way too much money to get people to help them to self-publish when they don't really need much more than an editor, a good editor, and a book designer.
Right. I was actually wondering what your editing process is for a self-published book.
Well, I as I do with traditionally published books, I make every manuscript as good as I can possibly make it myself before I do anything else with it. And at that point, I have some people who are also writers who I ask to have a look at it and make sure that if they see anything glaring, like some character, for example, in a novel just doesn't come to life for them, or some plot thing seems to be a little bit awkward or nonsensical to them, then I'll point it out and I can address those issues if I feel that they need to be addressed. But I also feel that we really need to, a lot of self-published books are just garbage. They haven't been edited. They haven't been well written. These are people that have never written before and really don't know what they're doing. And but even with established publishers or writers, I mean, we all need a qualified set of eyes to have a look at our manuscript. So I recommend to everybody that they hire an editor for as much as they can afford that is not a relative or friend, and have them have a look at the manuscript before they set it in print.
Do you have any advice on how to find the right editor for yourself when you're trying to self-publish?
It's a challenge because there aren't any credentials. You know, when you're going to find your next family physician, you assume that they have a degree in medicine, and anybody can hang out a shingle and say that person is a writer and or an editor. And some editors are really good at copy editing, finding all the grammatical errors in your manuscript. But what you really need is somebody who has published, edited books before and has a sense of how to make the whole book sound and work better. So my advice to people is to look with the Editors Association of Canada or to just look online, but the best is word of mouth. And even with if it's someone that you found online or through an association like the Editors Association, that you ask others who have worked with them and look at what they've done before and make sure that you're actually getting some quality editing. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the most important part of the publishing process, and it's what publishers have traditionally done. They're not always that great at it, but they've traditionally done that for writers, and it's the one step we have to make sure is done before we can self-publish a good book.
Oh, that's great advice. It seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the strengths of the traditional publishing house is that it aids the writer in building a readership. How can self-published authors compete with that?
That's a difficult thing. On when you said that I could correct you if you were wrong, one of the things that has been a problem for a lot of writers publishing with small presses is that they haven't been able to build that much of a readership in the past. Even with the help of publishing companies, it's been a problem of small markets and small budgets for a lot of presses in this country, and not only in this country, but other places in the world. So now writers are getting involved in the promotion process, whether they're self-published or traditionally published. And it's always a challenge, especially when you can't get reviews in the standard outlets that people tend to go to find out about new books. But I recommend that people find the important and marketable and talk-aboutable parts of their books and promote those so that they don't think of it as trying to sell books to everyone or even just to all readers, but they need to find out who is going to read their books. Perhaps it is something that is chick lit, or maybe it's got a particular storyline in it. I have a friend in the States who's written a book about a dad who's involved in Little League with his son, and he marketed through the Little League network, and it did very well, even though it's a novel, it's a literary novel. So we have to be more creative than we have been in the past in building our audiences, and I think get as many things out there. So if it's difficult to get your first book marketed and selling, then you also really need to be working on bringing out another one, because if one of those books takes off, then they all will. So it's a long-term strategy. There are a few overnight successes, and we all look at things like 50 Shades of Grey and wish that we had not written the book, but we had the success. And it doesn't always happen that way. It's a slow process, no matter which publishing route you take.
Mm-hmm. Is self-publishing more catered towards really specific genres? It seems that there's a lot in the science fiction realm, or like 50 Shades of Grey, where sort of romance genre.
There seems to be, in fact, some statistics that have come out in just in the past few weeks are showing that Kindle or ebook versions of self-published genre fiction are the top sellers. They've got to be priced quite low, but there's a lot of it being written, and a lot of it is being published by self-publishing authors, and it's selling. And I think that it may be an area where traditional publishers in the past just didn't realize what a market there was for some of these genres, and so now they're getting their feet under them, and perhaps in future, because some of the quality is pretty poor, but we all know of good science fiction, and in these genres there are always writers who can write and those who can't. And so I think excellence in the genre is still going to be what ultimately wins out. But for now, these books are selling like hotcakes. Yes, you're right. The genres are the place to write if you can do that, or if you're interested in doing that, and the place to sell.
You mentioned earlier how it's very difficult to get a book review if you're self-published. Why do you think there's still a stigma around self-published books?
Well, you know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago what I thought about self-publishing, I would have said, don't do it. It's vanity publishing. It's the worst thing in the world you could do for your career. You're going to be stigmatized. And, you know, I mean, I was really adamant in recommending to people that they not go that route. And for a generation before that, people who self-published were vanity publishing, and it really was a stigmatized thing. It was only if you couldn't get published, it meant that you didn't have any talent at all because you'd been rejected by everybody. It was just a horrifying situation, and I would not have wanted to be involved in it. Things have changed tremendously with the new technology, and our thinking is changing, and it's going to change, I think, with reviewers as well. But there are a lot of problems for booksellers in particular and in stocking self-published books, because you can't return them as booksellers that don't sell books that they have on their shelves can return them to the publishers. That's not the case for most self-published authors. So it makes the booksellers reluctant. And this whole network that is set up by companies that review books, media outlets that review books, and then people go to their bookstores and buy the book, and then, you know, that whole system goes into play where they become eligible for awards, has always been based on the sort of construct of a publisher having made that initial decision that this book was worth reading. And that doesn't exist, and so the quality control is the problem. I think places like the Globe and Mail are probably afraid that if they said we publish self-published books, if we review them along with traditionally published books, that there would be, the floodgates would open, they would be buried in books, and they might well be. They have to set up some guidelines first, but it'll change. It'll change.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me sort of similar to in music. It became easier and easier that people can just record their own music at home and then release it on the web. And while maybe at first some, you know, avenues were reluctant to accept it, once there were certain tastemakers on the web who embraced it and still seek out the best of the best, then it was just accepted. And maybe it's just a matter of time for that to happen with
self-published
books.
Absolutely. The music industry model is one that we should be watching and we should be encouraged by. It's a very democratizing time. I think it's a very exciting time to be a writer, because no matter how far out there you are, no matter what you're working on, you can reach your audience if you can find it yourself. And it puts the control, as far as I'm concerned, in the hands of the creator of the work, who is the one that has been running this business all along. So it's really, there are a lot of writers that don't like to promote, don't want to get involved in that. And I think that'll shake down, too, when we develop distribution companies and publicity people that can work with them. And some will stay with traditional presses, which is as it should be. But in the meantime, it means that we have the choice as the creators as to which outlet we choose for our books, as musicians have done as well. And the readers become the ones who judge what they want to hear. So it's an exciting time, and the opportunities are endless and open. I just think it's wonderful.
How do you think a writer can know if self-publishing is right for them before they decide to take the leap to do it?
Well, it has to do with what they want for their book. There are a lot of writers who still want to have the traditional press and sort of the cachet that goes with that, and in many cases, they're going to submit to traditional publishers or attempt to get an agent, and finally, after maybe 100 attempts or whatever, they may reach a discouragement point where they decide that they're going to do it on their own. And others may start out as people like Hugh Howey, who has sold millions of copies of his series of books called Wool. He just started right out with the self-publishing, and he just was a success to the point where traditional publishers were offering him contracts. You know, he didn't even look for a traditional publisher, and they were looking for him. So that's another thing that I think 5 years ago, if you'd self-published a book and then taken it to a traditional publisher and said, are you interested in doing something with this, they would have looked the other way. Now, if you've got a book that's selling, you can get the interest of traditional publishers. So some people are actually choosing to self-publish in an effort to get a traditional publisher. And some would prefer to stay as traditional, and some would prefer to stay as self-published. That's the thing that's exciting. Also, you can do some of your books one way and some another way. So really, the writer is in the driver's seat at this point and can decide which they want to do. And if people want to wait for a publisher to come along and find them, or for them to help themselves to be discovered by a traditional press for 10 years, they'll continue to do it that way, and there are people who still feel that's the way to go.
Well, one of my last questions is, what would be your biggest piece of advice for a writer who's about to self-publish?
My biggest piece of advice, go back to the editing thing, is to put a quality product out there. Whether you're writing genre fiction or any kind of fiction or nonfiction or poetry. Just because you can self-publish it doesn't mean that you should self-publish it right now. You need to work on it. Take writing courses if that's what you want to do. Put some time in, because my feeling is that if you put some junk out there and something that's poorly written, poorly edited, poorly laid out and so on, and somebody picks that book up 3 years down the road and you've improved over that time, it's going to be hard to bring them back. Mm-hmm. It's much better and easier to catch your audience with your first publication. And I've been suggesting to some people that they maybe even start, you can publish one short story, you don't even have to publish a whole book. And if they've got something that they're ready to let go, then that's the time. But you know, it's the problem is the amount of junk out there, and you really need to rise above it with excellence and not just book promotion.
Mm-hmm. Another question I had more towards someone who, you know, maybe they're like, I've never really read self-published books and I want to try them out. Where's a good place to find self-published books, or to maybe find suggestions of self-published books that, as you were saying, rise above the junk that can be out there?
Well, there's a place, one example that I know of, and I'm sure there are lots of others, but this is the one that I've become aware of, is called the Book Readers Appreciation Group. And they call themselves Indie Brag, and that's how you can find them online. But you could also find the Book Readers Appreciation Group. They're based somewhere in the States. I'm not exactly sure where. And they have a group of readers who are just really keen to find excellent self-published books. So people can submit, or their friends can submit their books, and these are read by these people. And the ones they like, they give a medallion to, and they have a beautiful website set up where the books that have been successful in making it past their readers are posted, and they give you a little bit of credit on Amazon. They go on there and say, this is a Bragg medallion book, etc. So it's kind of nice for the writer, and there are going to be more and more competitions like that. Mm-hmm. There are some bloggers now who are starting to review self-published books and helping us to sort the wheat from the chaff. And places like that, I think, are going to be the way to go. But the one thing that's amusing to me is that many people don't know whether the book they just finished reading was self-published or not. I've been being very careful with my friends, for example, to say, this book is self-published, sort of as a warning, you know. And I realize afterwards that that almost means nothing to them. They haven't noticed. People who are not in the books industry are not writers and editors and reviewers often pay no attention to whether a book is self-published or not. So it's not as big a deal as we think it is.
And I was just wondering now if you could tell me what you're working on in your writing career.
Well, thank you for asking that. At this point, I've been working on a lot of client-based work, and the problem for every writer is trying to find the time to write. I've just published two novels. One is called The Whole Clove Diet, on self-published, and then another is based on the story of Don Quixote, and it's a Western set in 1922, and it's a real adventure. It's I co-wrote it with a friend of mine in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's called The Adventures of Don Valiente and the Apache Canyon Kid, and it's a great deal of fun. So that was great. And now I'm working on some short stories and a couple of novels and a book of nonfiction, but who knows what I'll have time to get done first. It's an ongoing process of finding the time to write, and once I get into a book, I just go with it. But at the moment, I'm working mainly on short stories and work for my clients. So,
well, that's fantastic. And for people who want to follow along to see when your next works are published, what's the best way to follow what you're doing?
I have a blog that's about self-publishing, actually, and I do have a number of articles on how to promote your self-published book, so if people are, or any book, so if people are interested in that, they can check it out. But the blog is called The Militant Writer. I wrote it when I had finally reached a point of utter frustration with the publishing industry and decided to go on my own, and my first article was entitled How Literary Agents Are Destroying Literature and What Editors Can Do to Stop Them. So it attracted a whole lot of of attention, most of it negative for me. People were throwing bricks and bats in my direction, as you'll see from the comments there. But since then, I've calmed down and decided that this is a wonderful way to go, and I'm very pleased with it. But I keep people updated on what's happening and what I've read about in terms of self-publishing on The Militant Writer.
Oh, that's great. And thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me and share your insights about self-publishing.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for calling.
William Golding's Lord of the Flies was rejected 20 times before it was published. Gone with the Wind? Rejected 38 times. Beatrix Potter had to self-publish The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Publishing houses have been the gatekeepers of words that get to be printed onto the page. In our imaginations, publishers only work for the love of literature, But much like a Hollywood studio, a publishing house is a business, and it follows trends. Does the cream always rise to the top in a publishing house? No. Are fantastic works of fiction gathering dust waiting for their spotlight? Undoubtedly. Music has flourished thanks to independently produced albums. Many Hollywood films are highly influenced by the innovation that is found in independent films. Perhaps as publishing houses continue to become more conservative in what they choose to embrace, self-published books may be where the next Lord of the Flies is to be found. You've been listening to Common Air, your guide to arts and culture in St. John and beyond. Want to get involved with Common Air or have a suggestion? Visit commonair.org. Thanks for listening.